Thank you. May be seated. Thank you. May be seated. All right. Thank you very much. Open your Bible. Open your. Does this sound normal? I can't hear myself. Right, there you go. Open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy, not charismatic, quiet. That's the politest way I've ever been told I'm a stick in the mud. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to look at one verse, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and this doesn't seem exactly normal to me, fellas. I don't know if it's just the monitors or what, but it doesn't, from up here it doesn't sound quite as loud as it normally is. So I don't know if you just need to change these monitors up here or change something out there. But anyway, thank you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. Notice that word doctrine. Last year, Brother Wilkerson put a lot of emphasis here at Howells Anderson College on doctrine. Paul is telling Timothy that he said, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Timothy must have been listening. If he knew what Paul was teaching, he must have been listening. But then he went on to say, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, comma, manner of life. What that is saying is, thou hast fully known my doctrine. Thou hast fully known my manner of life. Timothy must have not only been listening, he must have been paying a close attention also. He not only learned Paul's doctrine, his teaching, but he also learned his manner of life. Today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to you about the manner of life that succeeds at Howells Anderson College. I've watched, in the last 45 years, I've watched over 7,650 students whose manner of life succeeded here at Howells Anderson College. I remember watching, interacting with, and with men that you now consider to be successful men of God. I knew them when they were your age or when they were where you are today. Some cases I knew their wife or their wife-to-be also. I'm talking about men like Rick Martin. He and I went to school together. His wife and I were on the staff together at the bus in the bus ministry. Kevin Wynn, he was a bus captain. Reno Likens, Bob Hooker. John Wilkerson was a bus captain and then worked with Mr. Douglas and me at City Baptist the first year after he graduated. Abdale Judah, Louis Ramos was a division leader. John Nelms, bus captain. Jerry Oswardi, Mark Pfeiffer, Dave Douglas, a division leader. Eddie Lapine, I don't know how that one got on the list, but anyway. We all make a mistake or two. John Francis, a division leader and my assistant for 11 years. Mark Bushy, a bus captain. John Shook, a division leader. Rick Finley, a bus captain. Bruce Goddard, a bus captain. Keith Gomez, John Jenkins, a bus captain, and he and I worked in the junior church together. Randy Dignan, Mark Holmes, a bus captain. Ted Spear, a division leader. Joe Vasek, a bus captain. Tom Bish, Mike Dingus, a bus captain. Brian Miller, Kevin Dale, a bus captain. John Barnes, a division leader. Johnny Pope, Larry Owens, Mike Creed, Brian Nibby, Mike Ray, a division leader, Mike Johnson, John Horton, a bus captain, Tim Rule, a bus captain, Mike Valdez, a division leader, Brian Patterson, Ricky Gonzalez, Peter Duke, both bus captains, Luis Martinez, a bus kid, then a bus captain, then a division leader, Paul Kingsbury, Todd Pointer, grew up here at First Baptist Church. Benny Burks, a bus captain. Kevin Calling, a division leader. Steve Cox, Andy Bailey. Corey Bain, a bus captain. Rick Torres, a bus kid, and then a bus captain, and now on the staff. Mark Duff, James Woosley, Robert York, a division leader. In fact, the only division leader I ever chose to be a division leader when he was a freshman. I learned my mistake and never did that again. Brian Odom, a bus captain, Dan Kagan, a division leader, Jeff Johnson, a division leader, Albert Lopez, a bus captain, Ricky Rosario, a bus captain, Randy Yeoman, Daryl Moore, my first assistant, Mark Crockett, Joe Grandy, a division leader, Freddie DeAnda, a division leader, Bob Marshall, a division leader, Bill McSpadden, a bus captain, Terry Angel, a division leader, Joe Brown, Scott Toole, bus captain, Randy Toole, a bus captain, Jim Montoro, a bus captain, Joe Whittick, Dave Solt, a bus captain, Dave Clear, Mark Bachman, Tom Barlament, Stuart Mason, Kevin Walker, his wife was my first secretary, he was a bus captain, Mike Wolf, Doug Cowan, a division leader, Todd Vaperzan, Phil Pallas, Mike Sullivan, Dave Atkins, a bus captain, Danny Ortiz, Bob Gray Sr., John Rollison, a division leader, Ted and Andy Dahl, Dave, bus captains, Dave Carlson, Brian Cassett, a division leader, Dan Cavender, Brian, Tom Vogel, he and I went to college together and worked in the bus ministry together, Charlie Clark, David Maskey, Mark Johnston, Mike Lamb, David Rogers, Jerry Wyatt, Jeff Sadlowski, a division leader, Biz Larice, Mike Tarr, division leader, Dan McCoy, Bill Stedman, Larry Oxendine, Roger Alley, Elmer Fernandez, John Allen, Tom Griffin, Sam Carnes, Roman White, many of these bus captains, I've just not taken time to say it each time, Jim Fesch, Brett Sharp, Tony Lashbrook, Wayne Schaefer, Don Noonan, Henry Gonzalez, Doug McCormick, Jeff Hawkins, Jonathan Ashcraft, Eric Ness, Tim McCurdy, Aaron McCullough, Steve Hobbins, Tim Rasmussen, a division leader, Ron Talley, Walt McDaniel, division leader, Eric Capace, Joe Grimaldi, Joe and Johnny Esposito, Jerry Ross, Bill Stafford, Paul Taylor, Brad Cranston, every one of them division leaders, Jim Lutz, Kevin Alberts, Dale Aiken, a division leader, Justin Soto, Rodney Jordan, Paul Benton, Rob Nesbitt, all of them division leaders, Chris Vestal, Terry Mingy, Steve Rimes, Chad Matheny, Alex Ramirez, Tim Shook, Rick Sparks, plus all the Osgoods, all the Middletons, all the Hamiltons, two different families of Langs, at least two different families of Johnsons, and you're sick of hearing names, and that's less than 200, and there's over 7,400 more that I watched them go through school, I interacted with them, and in some cases had some influence over them, unless it was your youth pastor and he turned out to be a bonehead. Eddie Lapina influenced him, not me. But what I want to do this morning is I'm not going to give you what some first-year dorm supervisor thinks might work at the college. I'm going to tell you what a 63-year-old man who has been watching for 45 years and has watched students succeed at Howells Innocent College, I'm going to tell you the ingredients that they used to help them succeed. You might want to write some of this down. I promise you some portion of this will help you. I'm going to have to give it to you quickly. There's a lot of it. But here we go. Number one. Consistent sleep. I didn't say constant sleep. I said consistent sleep. You ought to be sleeping a minimum of somewhere between 5 to 8 hours a night, whatever you personally need to stay healthy. And by the way, the first time you get sick, you ought to see Dr. Streeter and find out if you're sleeping enough. I've only known one person in all the years I've been here at Howells Innocent College that could live on less than 4 hours sleep a night, and that was Daryl Moore. He's the only person I ever met that could do that. You probably can't. And by the way, if you're not able to get enough sleep right now, you ought to immediately see somebody and get some advice. You shouldn't wait a month from now. You shouldn't say, well, I'm going to be tough and make it. You ought to immediately go see somebody and get some advice if you're not getting enough sleep right now. Number two, you ought to spend, or this is what these folks have done that I've noticed, they spent a minimum of 15 to 30 minutes a day with God. bare minimum 15 to 30 minutes a day with God. Now, I know some of you, especially the upperclassmen, you've learned that God wants much more of your time than just 15 to 30 minutes a day. And I praise the Lord for that. But for a freshman who's just getting started, trying to learn to go to school full-time, work a full-time job, if you can spend 15 to 30 minutes a day with God consistently this semester, you'll be doing very well, and I'll be very pleased, and I believe God will be pleased. And by the way, I would take 5 years to graduate before I would cheat God on my time. Or cheat God on his time, I guess I should say. Number three, go to every class. Go to every class. You should not take any personal days until the last 2 weeks of the semester unless it is a true emergency. Personal days were not put there just so you could be a goof-off freshman because it's fun to get away from mommy and daddy and go to college and play a whole lot. That's not the purpose of personal days. Personal days are there to help a legitimate person who's working hard to survive an emergency that comes up. You ought to save your personal days for the last 2 weeks of the semester unless you get permission or advice from your parents, your pastor, or a mature staff member. If you're a freshman or sophomore, you ought to get advice before you take your personal days. And even the ones that you think are an emergency, you ought to get somebody's advice on whether or not they're an emergency. Number four, arrive at least 5 minutes early for every class. At least 5 minutes early for every class. If you're running through the door, sitting down on your desk, when as the teacher begins to speak, officially start the class, you failed. You ought to be there about 5 minutes early for every class. Number five, sit in the front half or as close as possible to the front of the classroom. I'm talking about every class, every chapel, every church service, every ministry meeting. You ought to make it your goal to get in the front half or get as close as you can to the front. Now, not everybody can sit on the front row, but I'm glad to see the front row full. And I noticed it wasn't the other day, first day of chapel, but it is now, and I praise the Lord for that. Number six, never, this one's very important, never be distracted. Never be distracted in class, in chapel, in church, not distracted by your friends, not distracted by your phone, not distracted by fatigue. I still remember Brother Eddie Lapina telling the story of how when he came to college as a freshman, he was sitting in the back of chapel and he noticed that all the people around him were all goofing around every day and having fun and laughing. And by the way, if you're laughing in chapel when nothing funny is coming from this pulpit, you're probably distracted. But Brother Eddie tells the story how he decided, I don't want to be what these guys look like they're going to turn out to be. And he moved to the front half of the chapel from then on out. Don't be distracted by your phone. It should never distract you in a class. I don't know what the rules are around here about it being on or off or that kind of stuff, but your phone should never distract you. You should not be distracted by fatigue. I know you get tired, and I praise the Lord that you do. It's good for you. You're learning something from that. But learn to handle the fatigue like, as simple as, if you get tired, go stand up in the back of the room. I stood up many days in the back of the room. I still remember the day I stood up most of the class, and then all of a sudden I found myself on my face in the floor. But anyway, don't be distracted by fatigue. Number seven, say amen at least once. At least one time in chapel, say amen every day. At least one time in every Bible class, at least. I don't know if you can say amen in calculus class or not. I don't know. I don't know if that's sacrilegious or not. I just don't know. But in your Bible classes, in chapel, you ought to say amen or praise the Lord or that's right or go get them or hey, I'm on your side or something, you know. And by the way, don't wait until they say, and now we're going to close in prayer to say amen. That's the wrong time. You know, but say something that lets us know you're alive. I mean, something besides, oh, how long is this going to last? I remember when one of our daughters went to what we call Big Church, the main auditorium, for the first time. She had been in story hour up till then when she was four, but when she turned five, when she turned four, she came in the main auditorium. And the first service, about 10 minutes into the service, she looked at her mother. I was sitting on the platform, of course, and she looked at her mother and said, "Whew, how long does this last?" And her mother said, "Be quiet. Shh, don't say that." And one of the church staff members was sitting in the pew in front of her, and he turned around and said to my wife, "Leave that kid alone. She's only saying what the rest of us feel." But say amen at least once. Number eight, take thorough notes. In every class, take thorough notes. Not necessarily in every chapel. Some messages lend to notes, some don't. But in class, take notes. Every class. Number nine, read all your notes every day until the next test. Now, I don't mean you have to read every note every day the entire semester, but the notes you take in class, continue reading over them quickly once every day until the next test, until you have a test over that material. That leads me to number 10. After the test, mark all the answers in your notes. Even if you have to ask some other student what the answer was, if you didn't know, even if you've forgotten, left it out of your notes, go back and put it in. Mark all the answers in your notes. Continue to review the answers you missed daily until the next test. And the ones you got right, review them about once a week until the next test. Number 11, schedule a time or some times for each project that's due. Within the next two or three days or week or so, you'll probably know most all the projects you're going to have to do this semester. Your outside projects. And sit down and make a list of all the projects and approximately how long you think each one will take. And don't put 10 minutes. It'll take longer than that. And then schedule a time or some times and schedule it early in the semester. Don't wait till the last 2 weeks of the semester to try to do your projects. Try to get them done in the first half of the semester. And if you can't work that into your schedule, then go get some advice. Find a staff member that you trust. Find a mature staff member that you feel like they will help you. And by the way, most of you, freshmen and sophomores, should not be carrying anything more than the minimum full-time load unless you're an A or B student. Unless you're an A or B student coming to us from high school as an A or B student, or you were an A or B student last year, if you're going to go to school full-time, work full-time, and give your full-time attention to your ministry on the weekend, you probably should not be carrying much more than just a regular full-time load. And some of you, it wouldn't hurt anything in the world for you to get some advice from an academic advisor and possibly even take a little bit less than a full-time load for a semester or two until you learn the routine of succeeding at college. Slip of the tongue there. Number 12. Get a job immediately. Get a job immediately. You should have had one yesterday. You should have had one last week. You say, "Well, my school bill's paid for the whole semester." You need the training of the routine of going to work. Now, you may not have to work full-time, and depending on your health and your parents' advice and your home pastor's advice, you may or may not should work many more than 10 or 15 or 20 hours a week, but every adult ought to work. Every adult ought to work. That's not my idea. That's God's idea. Number 13, go to work every day. Go to work every day that you're scheduled. Now, I know I'm 63 years of age and I've been in the workforce, you know, three times longer than you've been alive and just about. And I understand all that. But I'll just tell you, you need to begin now starting the pattern of going to work regularly. Last year, I took off 6 days, including holidays. The year before that, I took off 4 days, including holidays. This year so far, I've taken off 3 days so far this year, including holidays. You need to learn the habit of going to work. Now, when I had children at home, I'll admit, I took all my holidays, I took all my vacation days, you know, and now when I sometimes, like Monday was a holiday, but my wife and I were traveling back from a meeting, and believe me, sitting in the airport for 8.5 hours waiting to see if the storms would clear here in O'Hare, and getting home at 1 o'clock Monday night was not a holiday, I promise you. But my wife and I spend our time together, and when our children were young, I took my holidays and vacations. But you, as a single college student, you need to learn to go to work. Number 14, get there at least 10 minutes early. When you go to work, get there at least 10 minutes early. Allow for bad traffic. Just count on it every day here in the Chicagoland area. Construction, weather, wrecks, etc. Just plan on it, but allow for bad traffic and still get there 10 minutes early. Number 15, become one of the hardest workers at your place of employment. You will not be an honest Hiles Anderson College student if you do not become a hard worker on your job, because in this area, Hiles Anderson College students are known for being hard workers. The reason 99% of you are able to get a job here in this area, unless you transferred from a job back home, was because some college student came along before you and became a good worker and established a good reputation, and now you're able to get a job. Number 16, don't quit that job. Don't quit that job without permission. I don't care what the reason, I don't care what you think the good reason is, don't quit that job without permission from your parents or your pastor or a mature staff member here at the college. And by the way, it would probably be good if at least two of those three agreed that you should quit that job. A lot of you can call your mommy and cry for a few moments and tell her how rough it is, and she'll say, oh, sure, sweetheart, go ahead, Johnny boy, and quit that job. But you ought to get at least two of the three to agree before you quit a job. And if you do, do it appropriately with a two-week notice, et cetera, et cetera. Number 17, contact your parents regularly. I don't mean between every other class. But I mean, two or three times a week, you ought to call or text or email or write. And by the way, when you do, ask and talk about them, not about you. Your entire conversation shouldn't be, mommy, I did this, 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 mommy, I did this. And your mother saying, Oh. It ought to be, mom, how are you doing? How's dad doing? How's his job going? How's my brother? Has my sister died? How's my sister doing? And you ought to be concerned about their life, not just yours. Number 18, you ought to do something similar once or twice a week. About once a week, once a week with your pastor or your pastor's wife. Men with your pastor, ladies with your pastor's wife. You ought to contact your pastor or your pastor's wife about once a week. Number 19, plan a budget. Plan a budget. A budget that will include tithe, school bill, a small offering that you decide each paycheck what you're going to do with that particular offering, your weekly needs. By the way, I put these in order on purpose. Your tithe, your school bill, a small offering, your weekly needs. And by the way, whatever money you set aside for your weekly needs, don't ever spend all of it in any one given week, between any one given pay period. I'll just tell you, and I know it was, you know, in the ancient days, just right after we got off the ark and all that, as you see it. But when I was working, when I was going to college and working, and I was making $3.10 an hour, I remember every paycheck I would get in line at Dairy Queen on Calumet Avenue in Hammond, a few blocks from the church. And I would stand in line and wait for my turn to buy one 15-cent ice cream cone. And that was the only thing I spent out of that paycheck except my tithe, my school bill, my bare necessities, and whatever money I wanted to invest in my ministry. I promise you, 15 cents a paycheck is what I spent on luxuries until I got a... That was the first year I was in school. I didn't know how to... Anyway, I just had to do that to survive that first year. Later, I got a little bit ahead. But that first year, 15 cents a paycheck. You ought to save some of your weekly... What you put aside as your own personal weekly allowance, you ought to save some of it every single week. You ought to decide what you need to get by on and then get by on less than that. I promise you, I'm doing you a big favor if I can talk you into that. And by the way, if you draw up a budget and it doesn't seem to work, then go see Brother Malucci. Go see Brother Bushy. Go see Brother Bailey. Go see Dr. Cowling. Go see somebody that'll help you work on. And by the way, don't alter that budget. Once you draw it up, don't alter or deviate from it without permission from the person who helped you draw it up or the person who approved it once you drew it up. I want to spend a whole, that's a whole nother sermon. I want to spend the whole day on that one, but let's keep going. Number 20, go to every ministry meeting. Every ministry meeting, you ought to be there. Number 21, dress as sharp and nice for your bus kids as you do for class and church. You shouldn't become a slob or a bum just because you're going to see your bus kids. You ought to dress as nice and sharp for your bus kids as you do for class and church. Number 22, arrive at least 10 minutes early for your ministry meetings. You ought to add to the atmosphere. You shouldn't come walking in 2 minutes late. Well, they're always just goofing around up there. I promise you, the leader knows what he's doing. He's doing something on purpose to set an atmosphere. You ought to be part of it. You ought to be adding to the atmosphere before he even gets started. You ought to get there about 10 minutes early. Number 23, go straight to your bus route after the meeting. Straight to your bus route after the meeting. 24, dedicate all day Saturday and Sunday to your ministry. All day Saturday and Sunday to your ministry. One of these days, you're going to get out of college and you're going to want to dedicate your entire life to the ministry. How are you going to learn how to do that if you can't even give your weekend to the ministry right now? Look, you boys don't need to come back and watch your girlfriend play volleyball on Saturday night. You need to be out there on that bus route, winning people to Christ and changing lives and influencing people. 25. Every Saturday, win at least 2 people to Christ. Every Saturday, win at least 2 people to Christ. Line up at least 3 solid visitors to come on Sunday. By the way, just keep going until you do. If it seems to be late and you don't have 3 people ready yet, or if the bus is going to be back to pick you up in just a few minutes, don't stop. Just keep going until you get them. And then contact them again Saturday evening and Sunday morning to make sure they're coming. Number 26, we've got to hurry here. Every church service or class you attend at the church, sit in the front half of the room, front half of the auditorium, or as close as possible. Sit with someone from your ministry, some bus kid, some bus parent, somebody, some convert, some visitor you brought to church. Sit with them and try to be a good example to them every moment of the service. Number 27, we've got to hurry. I've got several more to give you. Number 27, I hate to hurry this one. I wish I could spend this is a whole nother sermon also. Number 27, fall in love with those people in your ministry. Pray for them. Think about them. Weep over them. Fall in love with them. Number 28, ride the night bus. Number 29, leave part of your soul, part of you, part of who you are, part of what makes you tick, leave part of your heart in Chicago. Paul said to the folks in Thessalonica, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Number 30, plan to be tired Monday morning. Just plan on it. Just plan to be tired. Just part of life. It's just routine. 31, cut back on the amount of sugar and other junk you've been eating. 32, fast and pray at least one time this semester. I don't mean a whole week. You probably shouldn't do that while you're going to school and working a full-time job, but you could fast and pray a day. You can fast and pray a meal. You can take one lunch hour or one breakfast hour, and I don't mean sleep late because you didn't go to breakfast. I mean go off somewhere and get alone and fast and pray during that time. Pray for the salvation of your own parents. Fast and pray for the salvation of the parents of some of your bus kids. Fast and pray for a big day. Fast and pray for some of those riders that are struggling on your bus route. Number 33, review this list on the first of each month to see if you've slipped or if there's somewhere you need to improve. By the way, this is not a formula by which to thrive at Hiles Anderson College. This is the bare minimum to succeed. And I'll just close with this. I know some of you at your age are thinking, well, where does dating fit in? I'll just make this one statement. Dating's a whole nother sermon also. I've preached that before and I will again probably. But I'll just make this statement. You young men should probably plan to have at least, bare minimum, one date per semester for every semester you're in college. This semester, you're a freshman, you ought to find some girl one time this semester and just ask her to sit in chapel with you. Ask her to eat lunch with you. Ask her to sit in church with you Sunday night. Next semester, you ought to do it twice. Next fall, when you come back to your third semester, you ought to do that at least three times, etc. That would be a bare minimum. I'll just throw that out for good measure for right now. Thank you.